When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Can't fight it, what you gonna do now when Monday comes around?
It's just a great joy to tell you all, and there's a lot of people out there who are big fans of Monday Matters. Been a bit of a haphazard start to the season, a bit like the AFL schedule. Been a bit all over the joint for the first 6 weeks of the season.
A few buys.
Correct. Mm. We've got a full house.
And warnings. It just, warnings will, it's like, will it's level
like,
down.
I don't know how you feel about it. It's like my two sons have come home after dinner. Mm. And it's just a joy to have me. Sam Hemman and Julian to start.
Meant to tell you I can't make it next week.
All right, Pops.
But good to be here. Gee whiz. It was a spicy off-air intro if ever I've seen one.
No, but don't worry about that. What about the lead up now? Because he's very protective, Gazy, of his gear. And now he goes out into the work.
He's made it awkward, if we're being honest.
It's true.
We'll cut to the chase. Oh, he's made it awkward.
Yeah.
He's made it awkward by trying to protect his Monday Matters content from the rest of us and making us promise that he's got all the things covered first. No one else can dare go anywhere near it. He's outsourced a lot of his Monday. I want to say all, but certainly the vast majority.
I like to get feedback just so I can sharpen up the content. No.
And
last week, and this came to you, and I'm going to speak to the captain, which is Andy Marr, about this, because we had this conversation. When you specifically told me you would not go anywhere near my topics, and then you just ran out, and your last topic completely took mine verbatim.
Yes. Heaven forbids some of us should think of the same ideas as someone else. Like it's just football. We're not splitting the atom. We might have the same thoughts.
Well, but
add to it. The skill of Monday Matters is to, if one of yours does get a broach before you,
elaborate.
If I may say so, Julian, outstanding your point on blah, blah. It was one of mine, but let me add to it. Mm. Let me say this.
Or go to one of your other topics that you have, because you always have more than you need.
I don't.
I did make that point, and I was put back in my spot.
I get what I need, and that's it. And I try to just really sharpen it to a level.
Seriously. Anyway, let's get stuck into it. We're here for Berwick BMW, of course, offering convenient servicing for your BMW at Berwick BMW. Next day availability and multiple transportation.
Don't forget
options.
Our wonderful partners for Monday Matters.
Oh, my
as well.
God. So, of course, core staff. We wouldn't be here without them. Thanks, core staff. Great to have you on board. Specialists in labour hire and permanent recruitment.
Okay.
Go on, Julio.
Well, what matters is sport is predominantly about the players, and that matters. So in footy, for example, you know, after a win, on the ground, post-siren, in the room, singing the song, it's about the players, not about the coaches and the staff. They're very important.
Yes.
But these sort of matters, you just step back and let the players enjoy it.
I know where this is going.
Basketball's the same. And, for example, if your team wins on the buzzer...
Go on at him right off the top.
This is a moment for the players. Coaches, just stay on the sidelines.
Come on, Keith.
It's not about you.
That's Andrew. True. And I actually agree with that. But it was an emotional set of circumstances. It was a tip in at the buzzer. And the vision of me running onto the floor was one that it's just no matter how long you've been in the game, when you get caught up in the emotion, sometimes you lose your mind. And it wasn't until I was just past the center line, almost at the three-point line down the other end, I thought, I could be in trouble here. I'm going to get a tech foul because I've run onto the court too early. Now, fortunately, the siren had already expired, but it was exciting.
Great set play.
Why can't you enjoy it with your teammates and just their teammates?
I'm just winding you up.
No, nice work, Julio.
Liked it.
Thank you. Over to you, Samuel.
Coaches being honest matters. And on that front, I really like the Adam Kingsley press conference at the weekend after the loss to Carlton, because the Giants coach didn't play the farcical, I didn't see it card, or I'll have to watch a replay on that card. He spoke his mind on a controversial incident involving his captain, Toby Green. Now, it doesn't mean we have to agree with it. Plenty didn't. I didn't. Totally disagreed, but good on him for having the the kahunas, yeah, to actually have a go and double down on it a couple of times as well to say it's hard being Toby. So I like that.
Yeah,
that mattered. I loved it. And they're going to fight it. They've backed their coach up. They're fighting at the tribunal. So I don't think they'll get off. But stranger things have happened. Of course, who knows?
So while we're on this, can you just... Can I ask a question of him before while we're going here, before you keep going? And I hope this doesn't cross over what you're about to say. Why, and there will be stats that will run contrary to the question I'm about to ask you, but when it comes to rough conduct charges, why do we seemingly default to medium impact?
Potential to cause injury.
Okay, so that's fine, right? So it's the act that we want out of the game. The Toby Green, we want that act out of the game. We all understand that. So that's a given. But this was low impact. Jordan Boyd bounced back to his feet and took the kick and played out the rest of the game, no problems. So it is low impact by any definition. And this is sort of what Chris Fagan was talking about last week, without the good bloke factor that won't apply here.
So your point is it ever possible to get low impact? Which I think is a fair question to ask with rough conduct. But he's only got good fortune to thank for the fact that Boyd was able to get up and play.
I acknowledge that.
Because he has bumped him high with I would contend pretty reasonable force.
But they take that into account because Peter Wright got loading because Harry Cunningham was hurt.
That's what Brad Scott said today. It's an outcome-based system.
That's right. So if the outcome is minimal in terms of the contact level, they seem reluctant. They want to get the act out of the game, so I understand that. That's why they want people rubbed out, because it makes a bigger point. But this was low impact. Under any definition, it was low impact.
Yeah. But they've given it medium, as I say, potential to cause injury, because what they don't like is, and I think we've all got empathy for a player in this situation, whether it be Peter Wright or Toby Green, because they are initially making the ball their object until they absolutely aren't at the end. And they're going into preservation, but that's human instinct in that situation. We're asking a lot of Toby Green to keep the arms outstretched, going for a mark and exposing his whole body to a high-velocity collision. But they hate the bracing, the looking away from the ball, and that bumping action, and given he's got him high and in the head, thankfully he was able to play on, that's the potential to cause injury because he's got him high.
Look, Toby's staying wide open. Raising the knee to protect himself, and that could do a whole lot worse damage.
I know that. Yeah, and they'll argue impact, of course, the Giants will. But if the AFL's got any consistency in the tribunal, which over the course of time you'd argue perhaps they haven't, and Peter Wright's not that long ago, I'd be pretty surprised if he doesn't get the week, Toby.
Okay.
Well, that was going to be my point as well, and that was that the Toby Green suspension matters. I think it matters because of the direction we're trying to take the game, and albeit that I can appreciate that it happens at a ballistic game at high speed, and I honestly believe he was trying to protect himself, and I don't think he was trying to cause any harm, but the consequences of those actions are relevant. So the suspension matters, and I have a slightly different view from what you're saying in regards to Adam Kingsley's comments, in that, yes, I think he was being honest, but I also think he was trying to create a narrative. Here is a guy, on the basis of what we saw the week before on the good guy tax, here is a guy saying, well, he has an extra tax because of his history, and he's trying to set an agenda and put that in the minds of those in the tribunal that is going to make this decision. So I think it's I would do it myself. You often do it as far as you want to set the tone of a game and the way in which something's officiated. But at the end of the day, I think it matters that these actions are looked upon in a way to protect the players and what we know of the consequences of these types of injuries.
I don't disagree with any of that. I don't disagree with anything any of you have said, but regarding Adam Kingsley and Toby Green, it was only 2 weeks ago that Toby Green got away with one.
That was not the Toby Green tax. That was the Toby Green tax return.
That's right.
He got the dividend.
That's right. So you don't have to dive too far back into the recent past to go, well, he got away with the MacAndrew one, and this one he's on the wrong side of it. So we'll wait and see, you know, how it all plays out. Alistair Clarkson matters right now, right? So a lot of clubs have made knee-jerk reactions when the new coach has been appointed and the sugar hit hasn't come quickly and the turnaround hasn't been swift, and they've made the call, and all it leads to is greater destabilisation. North Melbourne got Alistair Clarkson in because he's a master of the craft. He's a Hall of Fame coach in the Hall of Fame in waiting. this was always going to take a while. This was never going to be a two-year turnaround. Now I heard Kingy this morning, and I thought Kingy and Gerald were great talking about North Melbourne. I could feel David's pain, and trust me, as a Carlton supporter, Kingy, talking as a supporter he was this morning, I know exactly how you're feeling. But if I could urge North Melbourne supporters who are getting concerned or anxious, or it's not happening as quickly as we thought it would, and just to cool the jets, calm down, give them another chance in the list build cycle to rectify the deficiencies. They've brought in a heap of talent. Just let this bloke do his job. The worst thing they could do is get impatient and make a big call in the short term.
Oh, I don't think he's in any danger of.
No.
You're not suggesting.
No, not here and now. But there's definitely been a shift in the conversation. You're starting to hear people go, oh, maybe Clarko's not the guy. And maybe you're starting to hear that now.
It's the Messiah complex.
I understand that.
Carlton fell into that for a generation.
No question.
Getting a coach in that was going to fix everything, or getting a player in that was going to fix everything. Yep. It's just bloody hard work. So when you go back to their last 88 games, they've won 10.
Oh, it's horrible. It's horrible.
Of 88.
No question. It's horrible. And Clarko's record is not flattering early. But you just got to – I think there's more to be gained. If he wants to – if he's got the appetite for the job – and he thinks he can do the job, then let him do the job.
Mm.
Let him do the job.
Just on that, I heard an interview with Sonia Hood this morning, and I think if you're Clarko, you're saying we're on the same page, because she made it very, very clear the path they're heading, and that she vitally, just incredibly disappointed with the performance.
Of course.
But they're on a pathway, and it's up to the football department to figure that out. And the board is there to provide them with whatever help they can do as far as resources, but they are not going to get involved in those types of decisions and the direction they're taking, which I think is the type of response you want to hear from those ultimately that have to make the decision on a coach, because it's showing the confidence that you appreciate the position you're in right now, and you know it's going to take some time.
No, you mentioned the Messiah complex. I think it's been a bit unfair for people to compare it to Mick Malthouse. I mean, Mick Malthouse took over a team that was a kick away from a prelim 18 months earlier and just missed the finals the year before. Yep. So he wasn't going into a rebuild.
No, and I think when people write the history on that footy club, there's a fair argument to be made that they pulled the pin on the incumbent far too soon. He had a year to go on his contract, and maybe they would have been better served to let the bloke run out the course of his contract, surround him with some people who could help him do the job to the best of his ability. Brett Ratten, we're talking about, obviously, and see where they went. There are parallels between them and Geelong to some degree. Mark Thompson and Brett Ratten were there if you wanted to dig hard enough to see them, but they pulled the pin, and they've been enough. Mm. After that, they had 10 years of absolute instability that was painful, actually, painful to be part of as a supporter. So I'd hate to see North do the same thing with this bike anyway.
Just on North.
And I don't think they're going to, so that's
clearly not. Just on North, the recruitment of players from other clubs matters. Now, I know it's been really hard for North Melbourne to attract big names, and they've had a crack, let's be honest. They've had a crack at some big names that haven't wanted to go there. But just how many of these names are you giving a tick for their time at North Melbourne? And look, a couple are just starting off, so it's probably a little bit unfair. But Aiden Corr, Zach Fisher, Dylan Stevens, Jaden Stevenson, Callum Coleman-Jones, Hugh Greenwood, Griffin Logue, injured, can't really count him, and Liam Shields over the last couple of years. How many of them are you giving a tick?
Couple at the max, aren't you? And I mean, this is the thing about, we'll get to West Coast, I'm sure, in a moment, is West Coast have got that core group of senior, and they've been injured and out of form for so long, but they're back now. And they're performing. Mm. So North Melbourne don't have that. I mean, Nick Larkey, great. Luke Davies-Uniacke has been okay. That's almost about it for their senior core to protect the next generation coming through. Yeah. So, look, Hugh Greenwood's on the sidelines watching on. Maybe it's time for him to come
back.
He's
got to play, doesn't he?
Liam Shields is a little bit the same. They're not world beaters now in this stage of their career, but they stiffen them up a bit. And it always comes back to the same question. Did they cut back too hard when they look to restart things down there? I mean, an average losing margin of north of 40 points, the closest loss being 4.5 goals. It's 17th, 18th, 18th, 17th, the last 4 years. Six coaches since 2010. I mean, it's pretty dark times at the moment, and you're just looking to hang your hat on something in the list. You can only work with the tools that you've got in the shed.
Yep. Mm. So they're a fascinating. They're going to be a really interesting watch in the off-season, to see what they do with the assets they've got and how they might be able to turn some of those assets into players they desperately need. It's going to be. I think they're going to be as interesting as just about anybody in the offseason.
But again,
would they get help again?
Well, that's a different point. But again, attracting big names. How do they do it?
No, that's the difference between West Coast and North.
You can throw cash, but that will get some.
Are they likely to ask?
Well, they're zipping six.
Yeah.
And they're getting flogged. If you run it forward and they win two games, I would ask. Would you ask?
You'd ask, but would you get it?
Would you get a lot of opposition?
Of course you would get opposition.
Aren't they in a bit of
heavy opposition?
Aren't they in a spot now where they go, righto, we've got all it. Let's use a couple of these. Let's be brutal with our assets and put them out to market and say, righto, mm-hmm. what can we get for this bloke? What can we get for that? We need a couple of staunch defenders. Yep. We need a Keith, let's see what we can get. Mm-hmm. You know, let's have a go. So it'll be really interesting in that aspect. Monday Matters, thanks to Core Staff, specialists in labour hire and permanent recruitment. That's a long way down the track. It's 4:19. Back to you, Edmund, on the other side of this. And Sam and Julio and Monday Matters. We're around to you, Samuelson.
I love the chicken or the egg debate. So just further with Harley Reid. So just further what we're talking about, a fit, available and high-performing senior players matter. So the Harley Reid hype, and it is a sexy story at West Coast, and we all fall into it, and we all love watching him. He's been put up as the fire starter, and this kid has injected everyone with the confidence serum, right? He's the golden touch. And he might well be. We love Harley Reid and what he's doing at 18 or 19 as he turned last week, because you can't help but imagine what he'll be doing at 23. Yeah. Yeah. But it's the senior core, isn't it? Finally, like guys like Yo, who's been on fire at the coalface, Kelly alongside him, McGovern down back, Waterman up forward, Plugger Waterman as he's now known, Barris as well, is massive. So McGovern only 9 games last year, Yo 10, Waterman 11, Barris 14, and we know their injuries for the last several years.
Yep.
Surely that core back up and available goes into the mix with the kid, Harley Reid, to get them to win 2 in a row for the first time since Adam was a boy, rather than surely the kids hasn't just got the dog leash out and is pulling them all along behind them. Surely.
No, but you do need a fire starter every now and again. And those blokes probably, who knows what their mindset was like. They might have just been fearing the worst, and then they have a couple of bad losses to start the season. Here we go again.
Yeah, yeah.
And then suddenly Harley Reid goes, jumper, here we go, I've kicked a goal, get on board. And then suddenly he plays the games that he's played the last 2 weeks. And you're right about all the other blokes. There's no question. An 18-year-old cannot do it at this level on his own.
So even though he's a clearance beast, Harley Reid, he wins his own ball. He goes looking for contact half the time. The question we can't answer is, would the Harley Reid at West Coast that we're seeing now be that same Harley Reid at North Melbourne?
Why not?
Because he doesn't have a senior core around
him. He'd play the same way.
Yeah.
Would he have the same influence?
It's hard to know. He certainly doesn't have a Tom Barras and a Jeremy McGovern behind the ball. That's 100% certain.
He doesn't have a Yo and Kelly in the middle either.
No, but he's got a lot of exceptional young talent around him. It's hard
to
know.
They're not playing like Yo and Kelly.
Yeah, so would they have won 2 games with him, North Melbourne? I doubt it.
No.
I don't know. But he is given. What are those things where when they put the paddles on you?
The Mikey unit.
What do they call that?
The defibrillator.
He's the defibrillator.
The defibrillator.
I can't say the word, but that's what he is.
The defib.
They've whacked Harley Reid onto the squad, and suddenly the heartbeat is strong. It's fun to watch. Go on, Keith.
Just change the subject ever so slightly, but transparency matters. And I refer to the 23 Chinese athletes that was revealed over the weekend that had tested positive to a banned substance. And I think that ultimately what transpired, the way I read it, I kind of get, which might sound odd, but I don't get the way in which that there was such secrecy around it prior to the Tokyo Olympics. And normally anyone who fails a drug test, they automatically get some sanction of some type, like we saw with our own Peter Boll, and athletes are educated ad nauseum that they have the responsibility for anything that they ingest and any banned substance that they ingest. Yep. Now, it was ultimately proved, well, it was tested and it was shown that it was inadvertent what they received. And that was
all 23 of them.
The tests were done.
All 23 of them.
By the Chinese athletic positive, their version of their.
So the Chinese investigated their own.
They did. Yep. But then because of that, it was referred to WADA. WADA went through it and found the same findings as the Chinese authorities. Then FINA went and tested it, and they also investigated, mm-hmm. and they supported it all. So the outcome between all those three entities was no, this was an inadvertent positive test.
All 23 of them.
Yes, because they were all living in the one facility,
sure.
Andy.
Yep.
And to me, I understand how we'd be suspicious of it because of the history of what has taken place in China with smashing vials of blood and all that.
And athletes not being able to find swimsuits big enough to house their bodies.
A lot of those...
Because their muscles are just
bursting out. But Andy, a lot of those eventually were detected and suspended.
That's right.
But in this case I think the biggest issue that helps facilitate and propagate the theory that there is a conspiracy going
on. Some sort of cover-up,
is the fact that why didn't we hear about this prior to Tokyo? If in fact you find that this is all hunky-dory and there's no issues, well, just let us know, because now that it's been revealed three years later, that's now, you go, well, hang on, there's some sort of conspiracy and cover-up. But when you read into the way in which it's investigated, and I know that there'll be some people that will question WADA, they'll be question FINA.
Most.
And some, not all.
No, I think a lot.
And perhaps understandably justified, but if you do have faith in that system, which I still do, I still remain to have faith in the international with policing of it, which is WADA, and I still trust that they did investigate it. But where the red flag rises to and helps hurt this circumstance.
There's been calls for an independent investigation.
Well, they've done. Isn't WADA independent?
No, we need another one, don't we?
Well, WADA is independent.
All right. So clearly the insinuation is that there's something a bit fishy about all of this. Right, the insinuation
but
is
that's because it wasn't transparent when it first happened.
So no further investigation required of the process of the WADA involvement, the FINA involvement. No need for anyone to come in before Paris. I mean, if there's innocent Chinese swimmers, and I suspect there probably are, who are totally clean, when they stand on the blocks in Paris, what's the world thinking?
Well,
thinking?
But they were thinking that whether this happened or not, Andy. That you only have to read comments by our swimmers and athletes, and they go, we just hope, and that's all we can do. We can put faith in the system, and we just hope that we're competing on an even keel.
Nothing to see here then. Move on.
Well, but there is something to see here, and that is the system. The system that allowed this to be covered up or not revealed, that's the thing that hurts the outcome and hurts the credibility.
Yep.
Because if you have faith in WADA.
Yep. So what if we've got to get to the news. Mm. But what if there was another investigation and the finding was, no, we've seen the data and the data stands up. Mm. The data says this was inadvertent.
That's what it did. They've already done that.
I understand
WADA
that.
And FINA.
Will you listen to what I'm saying, Keith?
Okay.
What if the independent review comes in and says, yes, tick, nothing to see here in that regard, but the handling of the information supply left a lot to be desired, and that should never happen again.
Great. That's probably helpful.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. Mm. Maybe that can be the thing that comes from this. But here we are 3 years later. We're hearing about it for the first time, and it stinks. It's 28 to 5. 24 minutes. Oh, Jesus. He's like a bloke who's got diarrhea at the moment, Sam. I mean, he's clearly getting something on the phone, and he's in and out of the room at 1,000 miles. He can't sit still. Well, you've got something on the go over here. Have you got something on the go?
No, we're all good.
All right, righto. I'll tell you what matters. 73-point turnarounds matter against teams that are sitting in the top four. When you do that, we've seen what you can do when you are happy and humming, mm-hmm. like we have with Collingwood for the last couple of years. I think we sit back and take notice. That mattered on the weekend. Yep. How much it matters, time will tell, but that was emphatic and phenomenal.
Well, just on that, heading into their next game on Thursday against Essendon, does it matter for Essendon if they play Draper, Wright, Goldstein and Jones?
Well, yes, it will matter against
Collingwood. Do you think that's a good decision or not?
What? Are you asking me that question?
Clearly they're not going to do that, are they?
It's a head fake.
Brad Scott's indication today is Draper is a lock. Wright is a lock. Jones isn't getting dropped. And Goldstein's going beautifully. So
one of the ruckmen can't play.
They can't drop Harry Jones.
No.
No, why?
So is it Goldstein or Draper for the purpose of
this exercise? Well,
he's
guaranteed Draper today, so it has to be Goldstein.
Manage.
Clearly better in the ruck at the moment than Sam Draper.
Yep.
Draper is struggling.
Just on this debate, so I find the two ruck situation so fascinating.
Brad loves two.
And it matters. So, okay, Essendon are doing it. I would say it didn't work because Draper's not a forward. I don't think it worked. Port Adelaide have tried it and failed miserably.
Yep.
Carlton have tried it, and it's unlocked their clearance game. Now, Kane Corns' theory is you can do it as long as one of them can play forward. Clearly, Tom DeCone
Right.
He was kicking goals forward, but he's kicking goals from the ruck too. So maybe the time he gets out of the centre square, he comes in with more energy. And maybe when he was rucking solo, that was led to the push for Mark Pitnett to come in. It's still a turnover-based game. And Carlton have been much better in the turnover game this year than last. But, gee, they were second last in clearance differential after four games, and they're undefeated.
Well, it helps that number 18's back in the team.
It does, but Pitnett coming back, whether by coincidence or not, has unlocked that clearance game, and he should take a lot of credit for that because they've gone plus 7, plus 16 in clearances when he's been in there. And as I said, De Koning's energy when Pitt has to have a rest has been big as well.
No doubt.
15 touches, 3-1, and all sorts of influence.
Is this your matter, or are we just adding Carlton to an Essendon matter? Like, what's going on here?
No, you're talking about the two ruck.
Two ruck debate across the I put Port Adelaide in there as well.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
No, he's taken. He's done what
value adding.
He's done what Gazy doesn't.
Yeah, exactly right. He's done exactly what we encourage Andrew to do, and now all Andrew is doing in here, for those who can't see, is having issues with the fact that one of his might have been taken.
And when the situation with Pitnett comes in, and you get the response from De Koning up forward, that's when you could understand why others might consider that option, like you mentioned.
So the two rucks, though, like can you play two pure ruck? You can't, can you?
Depends on the skill sets, though, doesn't it?
No, one of I don't think you can.
One has to be able to go forward.
I think it's harder early in the season as well, when the game is a bit quicker. I think it's even harder.
Now, one of them has to be able to...
Well, De Koning went forward and kicked three, didn't he?
Yeah, that's what we're saying.
Not many rucks can do that.
That's what we're saying.
That's
one
the
of
problem.
Them, yeah, one of them has so to be able to do that.
So it's the skill set that's important, their ability to go not just be a pure ruckman.
You can count on one hand how many rucks can go and play permanent forward and be decent at it.
It's why David.
Well, Wright can do that. Well, I'm not missing
the point.
He's not
a ruckman, though.
It's why David Hale.
It's the other way around. It's more the rucks that can go forward.
Yeah, it's why David Hale was such
Paul
an important
Salmon,
player at Hawthorn. Yeah.
Simon
yeah.
Madden.
Yep.
But there haven't been many.
Yep, there haven't been many. Was that yours? You've added yours to that?
Yeah,
I'll tell you what matters.
No, he was next.
Oh, I beg your pardon. I thought you had
two away.
I'm happy to.
No, you're the guest. It's good to have you back, young fella.
I want to hear from Gazy. I'll tell you what doesn't matter anymore, seemingly. The Gabba. Undefeated there last year. Can't win there this year, Brisbane.
Staggering.
Sipping three after, I think they were 10 and zip 12 months ago. Not the Gabbatoir anymore, by any stretch of the imagination. So I think they're on the road this week and then back at home the week after.
The Giants and then a Q clash.
Q clash, of course.
Yeah. Is there a little asterisk next to it because of the conditions where that really neutralised any sort of...
And Geelong are very good in the wet. You don't want to get Geelong in the wet.
But the two earlier ones, I think...
And I think they won in all conditions there last year. So
they just beat everyone whenever.
Mm.
It was horrible going up there.
So Giants next, you say?
Giants in Canberra on Anzac Day.
And they're 2-4 at the moment.
Oh, that'll be a good game.
Mm.
That will be a good
game. They'll be praying Hogan and Green get suspended.
So we did. We didn't talk about the Jesse Hogan one. Anyone got any issues with that? Getting a week for that?
He has to go, doesn't he?
Well, they'll argue force, clearly. Yeah. And they'll probably try to argue that it's below the force required for reportable
offence.
Isn't it
very similar to Mason Redmond?
Yeah, and this is the Charlie Ballard, for lack of a better phrase, the Charlie Ballard rule that they adjusted over the off-season, whereas it's going to be always graded intentional, even if you are trying to shove an opponent in the chest off the ball, because it is off the ball, it's graded intentional.
Yeah.
And that's why, because it's intentional, it's low impact, it's high, that's a trigger for a week. If it was careless, then it would be a fine only.
Well, how could that be anything other than intentional? He's standing there looking at the bloke and decides to swing his right fist at him.
Yeah, I think in the past they would say,
100% intentional. He knows exactly what he's doing.
I was trying to shove him in the chest was the excuse.
Mm-hmm. Not that one, Jesse.
Well, it did slide up his shoulder.
Jesse Hogan?
Yeah, he sort of went and then it hit him in the shoulder and then copped him
I hate that defence. Who cares if it hits him
in
the shoulder?
No, that's true.
It's where it ends up.
What was he trying to do?
Trying to hit him.
That's right.
Well, push him off maybe. Okay. Might be a...
Oh, you reckon?
An aggressive push off.
No? I don't think so.
I think he's in trouble.
Anyway.
Hey, bring your mouth guards week matters. When you look at the Hawthorn Football Club, what?
I agree.
Is that an official week?
Well, that's what it was for the Hawks last week. Yeah. And there was some commentary that that's not the modern way to do it because, you know, waiting if they... If they peter out in the last quarter, that intensity during the week, is it ultimately going to get to the result that you're looking for? Well, based on what we saw from the Hawks, we saw Jai Newcomb have one of his, actually probably his best game of the season.
Yep.
And then even someone like Josh Weddle, who copped it a couple of weeks ago, I think it was against Collingwood when there might have been a bit of a flinch. Now you go through that intense week, and I saw some vision of it, of the week, that the wrestling that was going on to reinforce the necessity of aggression and pressure. To me, he's been vindicated, and it mattered. And
100%.
And I think that the evidence was that it had the desired effect and made it a very, very tough day for the North Melbourne Football Club.
What happens to the players that don't wear mouth guards in a game on Bring Your Mouth Guards Week?
Well, I think
what
it's,
do they do?
Bring your falsies.
I think it's not literally.
Hey, we've got to get to a break, but nice to see you finally giving Sam Mitchell a rap. It's taken a long time.
Are you joking?
19 minutes to five.
Oh, you're a putrid man.
And the boys on Monday Matters, thanks to Core Staff, the trusted name in recruitment, discover rewarding career opportunities. Did I tell you what matters? What Josh Rochelle does this week. Had a couple of moments on the weekend that he clearly would wish to, they hadn't happened. In the middle of them, there was a jump back into a pack with a flight of the ball that's been a bit overlooked in the course of things because of the two where he kind of flinched a little bit on both of those occasions. It's going to be fascinating to see if he pulls his head in as a result of it, which the modern day player is so full of swag, I don't know whether he will. Will he shrink if the opposition get into his grill? Which I really hope North Melbourne do. They're down at Tassie this Saturday, and you love the unsociable part of what Alistair Clarkson's brought to teams of his to be imbued in what North Melbourne dish up, and I'd like to see Josh Rochelle subjected to a bit of that this week. Hey, we saw you last week, mate. We saw you. And hey, we're right behind you. When you go for a jump, we're coming right for you today. So let's see what he does this week.
Would you like to hear from Josh Rochelle?
Have we heard from Josh Rochelle?
He's spoken to Channel 9 in Adelaide. This is what he had to say.
Beautiful timing.
It's a tough one. They've definitely repeated in my head over and over again this whole weekend. And just a couple of little marking errors. That the first one was just more about I thought someone was coming right over the top of me, and completely honestly wasn't brave enough in that situation, which I'm gonna have to take that and move on and learn from it. And the other one was just a complete misjudge. The ball just sailed over and I thought it was coming a bit closer.
Wow. Jeez, good on him.
Well done. Has a player ever done that?
No, not said they're not brave enough, I don't reckon.
Nah, that is top shelf.
Good boy.
He could not have answered that question any better.
Mm-hmm. Well done.
Now, I'm really interested to see what he does this week, even more so.
And I don't know if there is, but if there is, does that take out the air out of it all?
A little bit, I reckon it does.
Oh, that's huge. So might not have been brave in that moment, like he acknowledges, but that is not as brave, but that is extremely brave to get up and speak to your own vulnerabilities as a player.
That matters.
Yeah,
well done,
that's
Josh.
Great. Well done, Josh.
Yeah, good stuff.
Now, this might sound a bit ridiculous because they've never played finals in their history, but I don't think it matters if Gold Coast plays finals this year. Damien Hardwick clearly has the bigger picture in mind. In six games this year, Gold Coast have already blooded five new players. So 2024 for Dimmer, it's about having a good look at his list, including his draftees at senior level, raising standards and bedding down a game plan. I know their draw is generous, but finals would be a bonus for Gold Coast this year.
A bonus. So this is when the chairman comes out and says, our full expectation, this is pre-season, is to play finals and we are good enough and we expect to make it.
I think it's more important to do all those things there than have the finals as the be-all and end-all. This is a successful season because we played finals, or it's a failure because we just missed.
So
it's not be-all and end-all, but if they did...
Is it a failure if they finished ninth?
No, it's not a failure.
It's not a failure.
No, I don't think it is. But if they did,
that's great. If they
what
do.
About the momentum it fills their 25 campaign thereafter with? I mean, gee whiz. No, I don't think it is. I don't think it's a failure if they don't play finals footy this year. But you want them, you don't want them to do what they've done in recent years. Get to around 15 or 16 and then just fall away.
That's right.
Gee, I expected more from them at the weekend.
I really did.
Yep.
Port Adelaide failed the test against Collingwood at the G big time at the weekend, as you said earlier, Murray. The Pies aren't in the top eight, but I think we all think they will be, if not higher, by season's end. Now, Port Adelaide's record against top eight sides matters, has mattered since Ken Hinckley got there, and unfortunately for them has mattered for some time. So in Ken Hinckley's 11 seasons in charge, only once in the COVID-affected 2020 year have the Power actually had a positive win-loss against top eight sides.
Is that right?
That's poor.
And if you extrapolate it out further and look to top four, then the reading's even more grim. So against the quality sides, the Power have consistently struggled to, as Ken said at the weekend, try to bridge that gap. Hasn't taken them to a grand final. Does hold the longest VFL AFL record for the longest time without a premiership for a first-time coach. We know all that. We love him as a coach, or I do anyway. I think he can seriously coach. But they can't beat the top teams, and it's been a trend right throughout his tenure.
They need to.
Good stats, that.
Well done, Sam. Strong.
Unselfishness matters. And the Collingwood Football Club on the weekend, and I believe led by Bobby Hill, I watched some highlights on a Twitter feed of just Jamie Elliott, I think it was, making some comments on how infectious it can be when you see that level of unselfishness. But it was inspiring to see the way in which Bobby Hill went about it. Here you have a forward that is required to kick goals, and there was, I could count literally four times where you probably wouldn't have raised too much of an eyebrow if he had gone ahead and had a crack himself.
He had $5 assists. Was it five?
Well, there was four of them at least where I looked and said, you know, you wouldn't have complained too much if he had had a go himself. And they were, a couple of those four were probably going to be gimmies for him.
Yep.
But instead, he used the moment to get his teammates involved. And it is infectious, and it does help the morale of the team, and it sets a tone, and it matters, I think, for the success of the overall team. When you're prepared to sacrifice that way, and I'm sure it's acknowledged internally, but externally it needs to be recognised and acknowledged even more.
It didn't impress Craig that much.
It didn't.
No coaches votes for Bobby.
Well, there was probably others that were just as deserving.
While we're doing the game on the weekend, Jared did remember that famous quote from Craig McRae about a bloke who no longer is at Collingwood, currently plays for the Hawthorn Footy Club. They're not your goals, they're our goals.
Mm.
And that feeds into that. So if that's come back for Collingwood, if the zip and the chase, and I'll tell you what he would have loved even more, and this matters for Collingwood.
Mm.
If you go back and have a look at that game, from halfway through the second quarter, I don't know what it was looking at it from the field, obviously from the commentary box, but I imagine the TV coverage, you are going to see Collingwood jumpers outnumbering Port Adelaide jumpers at every single contest.
They highlighted that last night on First Crack. It was.
Okay, well,
the swarm was back.
I was back in town. You got a quick one before you want to go?
Just really quickly. Jack Sinclair being in a trough matters to St Kilda. His numbers aren't that bad, but his impact is down. They need him in the guts. He's there. Game changer. He's got to get going.
It matters that you're part of Sports Day after us. Are you on their 4 and 20 menu later on?
I am indeed. Looking forward to it.
Good man. Thank you, boys. To have you back.
Aren't you on the wall?
Why is it 5 o'clock already? 6 minutes to five. We're here for Berwick BMW, offering convenient servicing for your BMW. That was Monday Matters. Thanks to Core Staff, specialists in labour hire and permanent recruitment.
Three votes to Gaze.